This is Evangelist George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry, and our message for this session is a message that was first published back in the month of February of the year 2018, and it's being put on audio in the month of July of the year 2024. So that's a little over 6 years or so ago between the time that it was published and being put on audio. And the reason why I'm giving you the dates is because during the reading of the message, I might make reference to some people, places, things, or events that took place that were relevant at that particular time, which may or may not be relevant today. And if so, I will try to give you a heads up on it. However, when it comes to the Word of God itself, it is always relevant yesterday, today, and forever. It never ceases to be relevant. And those of you that are exposed to it would do well to take heed to it and to adjust your lives accordingly. Now, our subject scripture is taken from the Old Testament, book of Genesis, chapter number 12, verses 1 and 2. And as I said, this is for February of the month of 2018. And if you have the scripture, you will find these words recorded. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. The title for this message is Get Out of Your Comfort Zone. The message for this month has to do with just how dedicated you are to the Lord and how far you are willing to go to prove it. It is very easy to profess something and quite another to take actions that align with it. I could go around professing that I can get in the ring with Floyd Money Mayweather and go 10 rounds with him and may even defeat him. But until I actually do it, then all I am doing is blowing smoke. Well, in like manner, there are a lot of, or I should say, most Christians that make professions about how much they love the Lord and are willing to do whatever it takes to please Him. Yet, when something comes up that challenges them to put action behind what they are saying, they tend to back off from it or make excuses as to why all that is not necessary. What we have here is a case where they, just like most of the ungodly, are in a comfortable place within their families, friends, communities, or even in their churches, and they don't want to step out and make waves, so to speak. The easiest thing in the world to do is to become just another face in the crowd and remain silent or agree with everyone around you so that you will not have to become a target of somebody's or someone's criticism. Yet, with all things considered, as Christians, that is exactly what we are called to do. In the story about how God called Abram or Abraham to his service, he told him to do what effectively was the same thing. Here is Abram, a pretty wealthy individual, living in the midst of a country that he had lived in all his life, surrounded by a multitude of family and friends. His dedication to God should not be questioned, seeing that God comes to him and makes him an offer that, in the eyes of many of us, would cause for us to jump up and say, "Yes, Lord." While God promised him great things, it came with the stipulation that he leave his comfort zone and go into a land that he knew nothing about. Aside from his immediate family, he was to leave all others behind, which, as we learned later, he did. Why would he do something like this? It's very simple. It was God that was telling him to do it. He had so much faith in God that he didn't think twice about it. His faith in God was so great that, as we learned later, when God told him to sacrifice his firstborn son Isaac as a burnt offering, he didn't even question him, but followed his directions. It was because of his faith in God, followed by action, that he, Abram, became known as the father of faith among Christians. The reason for this type of faith in God came from the fact that Abram knew God personally. There is a difference between knowing about God and knowing Him. People can tell me all day long, every day, about you, and I can form an opinion about how I think you are. However, it is only after I meet you, sit down and talk to you one-on-one over a long period of time and observe your actions, can I actually come to know you. When you know somebody, as the Bible uses it, you know how they think and how they feel. You know how they would respond to different situations that they may face in life. In short, you know them intimately. Think about your immediate family, talking about brothers, sisters, sons, daughters, parents, and the like. when your relationships are as close as most family relationships are, then if someone came to you and said one of them did something bad, you could say that they are lying because your family member would not do such a thing. However, as we humans know, people do change. Where that sort of faith in them may prove to be misled, one thing is sure though, God does not change. Malachi chapter number 3, verse number 6, God is saying, "For I am the Lord, I change not." Which brings me to the point of this message. If someone is going to tell me to do something that will, in effect, make me the object of ridicule, persecution, and possibly danger in exchange for some exceptionally good thing, then it will have to be someone that is able to deliver on what they have said, as well as being trustworthy enough for me to believe that they will do it. When a person professes that Jesus Christ is Lord, they are in effect saying he is master. What does the term master carry with it? It carries with it the idea that the person professing it is the servant or slave of that individual. Well, if that is the case, then a person that is in that position must obey the commands and directions of the master. However, as Christians, this terminology is misleading because the relationship we have with him today is not one of master-servant, but as a father and child. And as a result, that makes us a lot closer to him. And as such, we have a lot better things provided to and for us if we will do what he asks, or I could say tells us to do. When I say he asks us, that is a less offensive way of saying commands us. However, to a child of God, we are to be so willing to please him that whatever he suggests, we take it as a command and set about to do it. And what is his response for our actions? Blessing upon blessing. With this as the backdrop, we can begin to see that pleasing him today should be paramount to any person who takes their relationship to Christ seriously. So, how are we to know what it is that he likes and dislikes? Study his word, the Bible. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse number 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is a suggestion which should be taken as a command, because in the end, you will either benefit greatly from it or you will be destroyed by it. If you are getting ready to, or have ever been married, did you spend time getting to know your spouse before you got together? I'll bet you did. So why not do the same thing with God and Christ? I would dare say that over 95% of everything that is wrong in this world, and especially this nation, has something to do with our ignorance of God and Christ. Hosea chapter 4 verse number 6 says, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children." Notice, it is a lack of knowledge that will eventually destroy you. Now, while this could mean anything, it primarily means a lack of knowledge of God and Christ. Since God is in control of everything, and nothing good or bad can happen unless He allows it, then it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if you want something good in your life, then you should get to know what God requires of you to be in the position to receive it and take the appropriate actions. The problem we have, however, is if you figure out what you need to do and start making the necessary changes in your life that will open up the doors of God's blessings to you, those around you that don't know Him as you do will begin to try to shut those doors by mounting an all-out assault on what you are doing to get you to stop. This is why, among other things, God calls on us, as He did with Abraham, to get away from those that we are comfortable with so that He can bless and prosper us. The other purpose for the separation is, if Abram or you stay among those that you should be getting away from, then they will most likely be in a position to benefit from your blessings, because you will share it with them, or they may kill you and take it. God wants a clear line of distinction between what happens to those that obey Him and those that don't. If I were to come into several million dollars, then as a Christian, I would be expected to share my good fortune with my entire family, including those that may be at war with Christ. This means they can remain ungodly yet benefit from my blessings. This way, they have no incentive to change. God is about blessing those that are obedient to Him and cursing those that are not. This is why we are told in 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse number 17, It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you." God wants to show all the benefits that are available to those that are willing to be obedient to Him, as well as what happens to those that are not. Isaiah chapter 1 verse number 19 says, "If you be willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land." But following that in verse number 20, it says, "But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, or cut off, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it." In order for any of us to be blessed by Him, we have to be willing to go against our nature and follow Him. However, the minute you decide to do that, there are those among your friends and even relatives that will launch in to attacks on your decision by bringing up your past and trying to shame you into remaining among them. The reasons for this are varied, but they usually rest in the fact that if you can change your ways and prove that serving Christ puts you in a place of being successful when everyone is saying it is impossible, then you are making them to have to face the truth about themselves. Remember, to the ungodly there is no God. Christ is a myth. Or if they, God and Christ, are real, there is no benefit or loss for serving them one way or the other. When God calls us to follow Christ, He wants us to leave associations with our friends, our race, our unions, our gender, our religious affiliations, and any other entity, including family members, that would be a stumbling block in our path to following Him. The world doesn't like God, and they especially don't like Jesus Christ. Therefore, why would anyone that wants to serve the Lord want to hang around them anyway? Because it is hard to leave those that you are comfortable with. But you know what is worse? Leaving the one individual entity behind that you can't live without, and that is your flesh, your human nature. If ever there was something you need to separate yourself from, your flesh is it. However, unlike friends, acquaintances, and families that you can get away from, it's your flesh, it's the only thing that is going to be with you 24/7 until the day that you die. And during that time, it will battle every decision you make that denies it from what it wants for something that it hates. Its objective is to wear you down, put the to the point where you will feel you don't want or need to endure all the problems that you are having to face when you decide to follow Christ. God is totally aware of all of this because He came down here in the flesh and subjected Himself to all of the problems that we face. He did it so that we could see that these things are not impossible to overcome. Couple that with the divine assistance that He provides us, that He had when He was here by way of the Holy Spirit, and there is nothing that you can't do if you are willing to leave that comfort zone that you are in. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 verse number 13 says, "There hath no temptation, problem that hath taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, that you would be able to bear it, but will with the temptations also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Only if you will leave your comfort zone will you experience it. It is well worth it." Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. And as usual, I hope that you got something from it. Because that's one of the major problems that we have in our society today. It's not so much an enemy that's in a lot of instances somebody that we might run across every once in a while. We know to stay away from them, but it's hard to stay away from family and friends that supposed, you know, that you are really close to and you're attached to. But even then, Christ says in a lot of instances you need to get away from them as well, because you'd be surprised how many people are your friends and claim that they're your buddies and things until you make the mistake of deciding to follow Christ. Then all of a sudden they get a little uncomfortable with it, and then like several experiences I've had is when, after getting saved, like I say, before I got saved, I was one of the biggest devils walking the streets of the city of Detroit, hanging out in the bars with the pimps and the hustlers and so forth, doing a little hustling and pimping myself, womanizer, and making false IDs, hanging around people that was smoking weed and doing drugs. I did smoke some weed. I never did really like it, so I didn't do it that much. But, you know, I was hanging around people that did, you know, and these were buddies and friends and things and carrying on. Some of them shot up heroin and so forth and did cocaine. And, you know, we all got along together. Then I got saved. And I would go back to the same places, to the bars and things like that, where I was known as a player and carrying on, and now I'm in the place trying to get the girls. Back then they were called go-go dancers. They were called exotic dancers and strippers and stuff like that. The same girls that I used to make outfits for and things and carrying on for them to be using dancing in bars and things. Now I'm telling them that those outfits and things were making men, turning men on and so forth, and that was wrong and this was wrong, and people just started getting fed up with me and Karen. One girl told me, she say, "Well, George, you talking about the fact that I'm out here doing these things and these outfits that I'm wearing and stuff and the job I'm doing and so forth, that's wrong for me to be doing that because I'm enticing men and so forth, but aren't you helping me by making the outfits that I'm wearing?" And now this was a girl that I, at the time, you know, we were real close. In fact, she could possibly have been my wife if I hadn't already had somebody that was going to be my future wife, because my future wife at the time wasn't doing anything that would cause me to have to, you know, want to break up with her for this particular girl. But if I had met this particular girl before I met my wife, then I probably might have been married to this girl. But anyway, I didn't consider her as being a Christian or anything else like that. So as far as I'm concerned, you know, she was a sinner. But yet, sometimes God will use a sinner to tell a person that is a Christian or a saint, somebody that's saved, the truth about something and cause that Christian to change their ways. Because see what I was doing, I had gotten saved, but I was still making money making these outfits for these dancers and so forth. But then at the same time, I'm trying to talk them into quit doing what they were doing. And the girl called me out on it. And there was another girl, a friend of mine's ex-girlfriend, when I'd be trying to witness to her, she said, "I don't want to hear that. I'm in a bar. You take that someplace else. I don't want to hear that. You go talk that to somebody else. Don't be bringing that in here. Nobody want to hear that in here." So, you know, basically what I did is I just quit going to the bars and things. Separation. Losing money, so to speak, because that was one of my sources of income while I was laid off from work or didn't have a job. No, I was laid off from work, but all of that, you know, it panned out good. But the thing is, I knew that what the girl was telling me, that I needed to separate myself and find a whole different crowd of people to hang around with, which is what I did. And if I did it, and I was one of the biggest devils walking the streets of the city of Detroit, and God was had changed me, He can do the same thing for you. You just have to be willing to do it. some instances it's not going to be easy, especially when it comes down to your flesh, because see, your flesh is still longing to get back around those people and things and indulge in things that made it feel good. But the end result is that's going to put you on the wrong side of God, and I don't want that. So I had to make the change, and I made it. So you can do the same thing too. Well, this is Evangelist George McTyre closing this message out. And as usual in closing, let me just say this. May God bless you and your families real good. Until we get together again for another message from the Word of God, good day.